To the Batmobile.
Let's go.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Holy smokes, Batman. It's Gaggle of Geeks with...
Blake Howard?
And Sophie Lai.
Good morning, Blake Howard of Graffiti with Punctuation.
Good morning, Soph. How are you?
Great, but great.
A surprise in-studio recording today.
Hello.
Hello.
This is nice.
This is very nice. Yeah, look, it's been a big week. It's been like, and for a whole bunch of reasons, and it just seems that on a Friday, like it's Saturday morning, it's beautiful, sunny Saturday, and on Friday, just a car crash of awesome shit to talk about. Just always happens. So, look, the big one that we want to talk about, because we're both extremely behind it, Ed Skrein, who played Ajax in Deadpool.
Amazingly.
Just was basically the
butt of... Francis!
The butt of a thousand jokes. He was cast in the upcoming Hellboy reboot, playing a character in what's called the BPRD, but the character in the comic books was actually a guy with Asian descent. And... immediately, the internet blew up, as it does, because this is a really important... representation is hugely important, and especially with established, you know, comic book or cartoon characters, we want that representation to hold through in the casting.
Absolutely.
And Ed Skrein did probably one of the most noble and cool things this week. He stepped away from the role.
And it was funny, because just last week, when everyone was like, the hell, why did you cast this guy in this role when he's not even of Asian descent... the producer's like, we stand behind our decision. He's a great fit for this role. And then, like, a week later, he's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be Asian?
I'm going to read this beautiful quote. Like, he said it best. He goes, it's clear that representing this character in a culturally accurate way holds significance for people. And to neglect that responsibility would continue a worrying tendency to obscure the ethnic minority stories and voices in arts. I feel it's important to honor and respect that. Therefore, I've decided to step down from the role so it can be cast appropriately. Like, wow.
It's not hard.
No, but it's so, this is really cool because online, if you look at Ed Skrein, because he, you know, he posted it on Twitter, you see thousands of people who have retweeted him, who have said, you've got a fan for life. I'll see you in any film after this decision. I think it's just such a cool thing. And it's like, sometimes it's up to the performers themselves. Like, do I want to do this and drag a film that doesn't need the controversy into more controversy when we can just cast another great, ethnically appropriate actor to do the gig?
I know, it's not hard. And when people are like, what's he talking about, this mixed heritage bit, when he's talking about, you know, I have family of mixed heritage, I was like, what?
Yeah.
It's like, well, his son is of mixed, right, is biracial. And it's like, well, if he's going to be a good role model for his son, of course he will step down.
Yeah, really good stuff.
Fantastic.
Now, from something that's really great representation to the first of... is a car crash of us talking about buns this morning on Gaggle of Geeks.
So we're talking about the front buns first, right?
front buns. Evangeline Lilly has shown up on the 100th birthday, or what would have been the 100th birthday, of Jack Kirby, the infamous Marvel artist, titan in the Marvel universe. And to celebrate, a whole bunch of people said a lot of nice stuff about him online. But one of the cool things was Evangeline Lilly, who's the Wasp, showed the internet her costume as the Wasp, and she's got booby armor.
It's like, you got to protect the assets. She's got great boob armor.
It's some of the best boob armor that we've ever seen.
No nipples. No bat nipples.
No bat nips, but some certainly good booby armor, so that was good.
It looks great. It's shaping up nicely.
Yeah, look, she was the best thing about Ant-Man, to be honest.
Very true.
So, the fact that she's getting double billing this time... is good, and I think it actually probably plays to Paul Rudd's strength. Like, if he gets to play kind of the guy who's meant to be the guy in charge but is really the sidekick, I think that that works for him.
I feel like he's not leading man. He plays better off the people he's around.
100%.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just watch This Is 40 when he says, fruit. Yeah, he's very good. He's very good. The other big one is, and look, this is huge news for you and I because we're massive Batman fans. So, Breton Thwaites is an Aussie actor who's been cast in a stack of stuff, most recently the god-awful, absolutely mess.
Gods of Egypt.
Oh, no. I was talking about Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, both. There's been two things he's been terrible. Well, that two terrible films he's been cast in.
Yeah, he's been cast, and he's actually not quite, he's not a bad actor at all, actually. No. He's a very decent actor. He's been cast as Dick Grayson, as Nightwing in the upcoming Titans adaption that's going straight to DC TV, essentially. And I think it's CW it is. Am I right to say it's CW?
It probably will be, since they hold most of the, all the actual, like, Legends of Tomorrow, Supergirl,
yeah.
The Flash, Arrow, they hold all those things. But that DC TV will also have all the animated stuff, including New Teen Titans.
Yeah, so he's going to be starring as Dick Grayson in Titans. Very important casting for Nightwing to have great buns. And Bretton Thwaites, he's got those buns. Do you approve, Soph?
He does not have those buns.
Oh, no.
Are you kidding? He's very pretty, which I appreciate. But Maria, former gaggler, along with the amazing Nicola Scott, who drew Dick in Teen Titans, used to draw him with the most luscious set of buns.
Yes.
And then we all just looked and went like, oh, kid's going to need padding if they're filming next month. He's going to need some padding,
man. Better start, bro, start squatting now.
Squat hard, because, I mean, Kit Harington, if he can do it, you can too.
Listen.
Squat.
Great segue. We're heading into the delightful peach that was the final episode of Game of Thrones, this series. We just a little tiny spoiler warning, because if you're not one of the fans of Game of Thrones, I mean, I don't know how you've missed it, but
I mean, it was buntastic.
It was
just memes of buns everywhere.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the episode, you've seen the buns by now, surely. Look, last episode of Game of Thrones, Soph, what do you think of the season?
It's been really epic. I wasn't, compared to last season, though, where I was actually, like, gasping for air, like, it didn't have that amount of, you know, just trying to, like, screaming moments, but this season it was definitely really solid for me.
Yeah, I think for me it's an excellent season, because so much of what we've been has been like knife edge tension and political sort of backstabbery has like ended, and this season feels like a greater than Lord of the Rings length epic sort of conclusion. It's rolling into a conclusion.
The other thing is, this has been a happy season.
Pretty much. We've been being rewarded. Our characters we like aren't dead.
I know. It's just, I think that's why I'm like, this is a bit strange, because I didn't have the words to say it before. But yeah, this has been a nice season. We've had a Stark reunion, something we've been waiting for six seasons for.
Daenerys is finally on Westeros.
Daenerys is in Westeros.
Bran's back at Winterfell as well.
Yep. All the Starks are together. You know, Brienne is like, you know, reminiscing with the Hound of how great their murder child is. It's just like, it's all come together. And it's like, no one that we really loved died. Like,
yet.
It's still to come. We've been rewarded when, like, you know, when they're like, there was this moment.
I think in seconds of this season, the appearance of the Night King has told us that this happy little holiday that we've been on for eight episodes is not going to last very long.
I know, but there's like, when they went beyond the wall, you thought, holy shit, they're going to kill off some really good faves. And then you're like, no, not that one. And they didn't. And you're like, oh, this is a bit strange.
Yeah.
This is just a bit strange. You killed the one that everyone's like, oh, yeah, we liked him, but not that much.
Yeah. Yeah. So, look, I really like this season. I think it's paying off. And I think we can't get greedy. Fans, I just want to say to all Game of Thrones fans, like, the entire Lord of the Rings franchise, including the terrible third Hobbit movie, first two Hobbits, so I actually really enjoyed, but and then the OG Lord of the Rings,
oh, yeah,
is not, like, it's like 2.5 seasons of Game of Thrones. Like, you've got now 7 incredible series of this, and the most recent series is like hour and a half length episodes at the drop of a hat. It's such amazing, a breadth of story on TV. So I think it's like, that's going to be the decision in a couple of years, is like, what did fantasy better? And is it Tolkien, or is it Game of Thrones, basically?
I feel like Tolkien was the 2000s era.
And this is our decade, yeah.
Pre-2000s,
up to that point, it was pretty much there. Yeah, 2001, 2002, 2003, I think they were. But yeah, so this is our decade, but it's just amazing how it's translated. And it's going to leave such a yawning gap on TV when it goes.
Yeah, because we have to wait like nearly 2 years for the next one.
Boy. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with 2 years because when you think about it, like I remember like Peter Jackson filmed the original Lord of the Rings series over like
3 years.
3 years.
All in one go.
All in one go for three movies. And
that made sense because he made three fantastic movies out of it.
Exactly. But one series of Game of Thrones is longer than those. So if we only have to wait 2 years, and as you've seen, like progressively originally some of the, you know, special effects don't traditionally age well. And you see in some of the earlier series, some of the special effects, they didn't lean on them as much because I don't think they had as much faith in the special effects. But now you just only have to look at, like, getting up close and personal with a dragon.
Well, it's like now it's like you can't have little baby dragon no more. You have to have a freaking huge,
a gigantic. Oh, my God.
And then, like, in the first season, it's like, die wolf puppies. We can use real puppies. Now it's like we ran out of budget to do Ghost.
Yes. Yeah. Like, it's massive. It's massive. So, look, I'm super excited. I really enjoyed this season. There's lots to come. Mm. There's lots of cool, weird theories. There is one quick theory because we've only got a couple of minutes before we should wrap. But there's one quick theory, which is the Brandon Stark is the Night King theory. Mm. You know, yeah, I think we might need to put spoilers ahead of this again, but fans out there are thinking that Brandon Stark, who survived outside the wall and who's the three-eyed raven, is in fact
the Night King.
What do you think?
I don't know, because everyone's always looking at those little bits of symbolism, and when the Night King is marching into Westeros after he breaks down the wall, the formation that they make is of a direwolf sigil that is the House of Stark.
Yes.
And when after Jon got stabbed a couple of seasons ago and was dying and his blood ran out, apparently that looked like a dragon. I didn't see it then, but people were like, it looked like a dragon. And now look, he is a Targaryen.
So, yeah, look, I'm really interested to see where this is going. I think that, I don't know if he is the Night King, but there's something really squirrely about him being the three-eyed raven.
I think since the Night King touched him, there is a connection.
Yes.
Like,
getting your freaking Horcrux on.
Oh, totally. There is a Horcrux situation happening. I think they're still two separate entities, but they are unaware that they have a little Horcruxy connection.
Love that. Horcruxy connections. Horcruxy connections and buns. That's the episode.
Buns, 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 buns. We might leave it at that because yeah. I'm going back into creepy territory.
we dragged us out into Horcruxes, but now into creep. But guys, thanks so much for listening to this week's Gaggle of Geeks.
We'll catch you next week, Blake. More gaggling.
Thanks, Soph. And guys, if you want to check out my new extremely geeky podcast called One Heat Minute, it's at oneheatminute.com, and Soph is going to be a guest on there soon. It is traveling through all 170 minutes of Michael Mann's movie Heat 1 minute at a time. I'd love if you could check it out.
Thanks, Blake. Catch you then.
See you. Bye.
Bye.